chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. John 1, verses 9 through 13. This is from the ESV version. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of flesh, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Blessed be the reading of your word, Lord God. And there's an object lesson and a point to what I'm about to do, and the sermon will elaborate. This picture was taken at the Church of the Nativity, and it wasn't yet the Christmas season, but people brought, there were candles there available, and they could be lit as a symbol of many things that will be discussed today. And I'm purposefully handing these out, each one at a time. Now, some I'll be able to give directly. Some I will need to hand to each individual separately from the side. And again, some here. You're welcome. And others I have to approach from a different angle. And there's a point to this as well. You're welcome. So what is the point of this? Well, the sermon scripture that I just read is about light. And what was a festival of lights that Jesus celebrated? It was, indeed, what has been we have come to know as Hanukkah, which means dedication. Now, in usually this time of summer, we get to the retailers, this business is slow, they have to have a good marketing theme, so they go, what do they say? Christmas in July, or Christmas in August, because they're trying to drum up business, and people think, oh, yeah, okay, good, there must be a good sale. Well, Jesus himself went into the temple, and it is recorded in the Gospels that he went into the temple to celebrate the Festival of Lights, the Festival of Dedication. And this song is about that. But the song points, in my opinion, to much more. Much more because the light of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we need to present it directly to some people. Other people will kind of come alongside. And I don't want to say we sneak up on others, but we may need to approach their lives a little differently with the gospel. Because not everyone is the same or will receive the same. But Jesus celebrated Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. And it was all about, many of you I'm sure know, but when the temple was rededicated, they only had oil after the Maccabean revolt and they got possession back and it had been desecrated. And they needed to rededicate it. And there was only enough oil for one night. But the miracle is that it burned for 8 nights, right? And with that miracle, the Festival of Lights, Festival of Dedication, honoring what God has done.
Light one candle for the Maccabee children, with thanks that their light didn't die. Light one candle for the pain they endured, when their right to exist was denied. Light one candle for the terrible sacrifice justice and freedom demand. Light one candle for the wisdom to know when the peacemaker's time is at hand. Don't let the light go out. It's lasted for so many years. Don't let the light go out. Let it shine through our love and our tears. Light one candle for the strength that we need to never become our own foe. Light one candle for those who are suffering the pain we learned so long ago. Light one candle for all we believe in. Let anger not tear us apart. Light one candle to bind us together with peace as the song in our heart. Don't let the light go out. It's lasted for so many years. Don't let the light go out. Let it shine through our love and our tears. Well, what is the memory that's valued so highly? We keep it alive in that flame. What's the commitment for those who have died? We cry out, they've not died in vain. We have come this far, always believing justice and mercy will prevail. This is the burden, this is the promise, this is why we will not fail. Don't let the light go out. It's lasted for so many years. Don't let the light go out. Let it shine through our love and our tears. Don't let the light go out. It's lasted for so many years. Don't let the light go out. Let it shine through our love and our tears. Don't let the light go out. Don't let the light go out. Don't let the light go out.
Today's sermon is titled, Shining the True Light. And we've already had a little bit of look at that. We'll talk about it. But first I'm going to talk about it by way of contrast. Have you ever experienced total, absolute darkness? Picture in your mind a large volcano that was recently active. And further, when you hear about a cave on one side of it, and it's named after dangerous animal, ape cave. What might the thought occur to you thinking about going in there? And if you were to go in, what would you think? What would you feel? What might you smell? If you went in and found it totally, absolutely dark, you couldn't see anything. What can we learn from a cave that is completely dark, apparently named after a dangerous animal, and is located on the one side of a recently active volcano? Well, let me shine some light on this subject. We just read the passage, John 1:9-13, and it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." It's the beginning of John. It's really John's version of the incarnation. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh or the will of man, but of God. This is talking about Jesus being the true light. And here it is in a nutshell. When you believe in Jesus, the true light, he empowers you to become one of his children. How can we understand this? Well, here's one approach. Have you ever experienced a Christmas Eve candlelighting service? Maybe you have, right here. And typically all the lights are dimmed or even turned off except for the one Christ candle, maybe in an Advent wreath. And then that light is taken one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. Just like I handed out the picture of the candles from Bethlehem, from the Church of the Nativity, to each of you one at a time, one at a time. All the other candles are lit from it. Silent Night is usually playing with respect and reverence and joy in the background to acknowledge and celebrate Jesus' birth. Now, what we just read from Scripture called Jesus the true light, and Jesus himself called himself the light of the world. When we receive the true light of Jesus into our lives, we want to share it with others. The demonstration, the object lesson of handing out the light, the picture of light to each of you from a different angle. Actually, we are called to do so and even commanded to do so. I'm letting you know that Jesus is the true light who gives light to all who will believe. Actually, in the passage it says, to all. The light's available to all. However, not everyone believes that Jesus was the light of the world. People have lots of different opinions about him. Noted author C.S. Lewis understood that many people acknowledge Jesus as only a good moral teacher. In his book, Mere Christianity, he said, "But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to." Now, it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend. And consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. Considering the claims of Jesus, he had to be either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord, the Son of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. Let me share an experience that may help you understand. Are any of you familiar with the geological formation called a lava tube? Okay, I have a couple people. Three, okay, that's pretty good. I've experienced a lava tube on the south side of Mount St. Helens that blew off in 1980. Some of you may remember it blew ash over 30,000 feet into the air and then dropped that ash as it came across the continent. It was so thick and so heavy that a city 100 miles away was totally dark at noon. Totally dark at noon from the ash blocking out the sun. A lava tube is formed when there is a long flow of lava and it just keeps flowing. You just imagine a river of molten rock, which is exactly what it is. And then it starts to cool on the sides, and it starts to cool and solidify a little bit on top. But underneath, it hasn't cooled, and it's still molten, and it's still flowing. And as long as there is an outlet, the part on top will continue to cool, but the part underneath will continue to flow. Well, when it finally stops flowing, you have this whole hollow area that is called a lava tube. Took a youth group down into Ape Cave. Now, Ape Cave, what's that? It's not named after the animal. The Ape Cave was discovered by a group of Boy Scouts. Guess what the name of their patrol was? The Ape Patrol. And like many good explorers and discoverers right around here, they promptly named it after themselves. Isn't that the way we do things so often? But the story goes on. They continued, and the name stuck. The name Ape Cave stuck. So we took a youth group down into Ape Cave. Now, there are actually about at least three of these caves, and some of them go back for over 3 miles. And it's just this long, slow descent underground. So we took a youth group at least 1 mile back in Ape Cave. Now, when you're a mile from the source of light, which is just a little opening, not much bigger than where my hands are extended, about 4 feet right now. And there's much more room actually underneath. There's no light. And of course, for safety, we had everyone bring a flashlight. They were told to do that, so they all brought one. But then we had each one hand them in one at a time. And each one was turned off and put in a bag. And it gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And finally, the last flashlight's turned off. It is totally, absolutely dark. And at first, there's giggles and yahoo, a little poking back and forth as kids will do. But we asked them to quiet down, and after a few minutes, they did. And after several minutes, people started to get really uncomfortable, the kids and the adults. And I say that because the human mind, we are so visual, so programmed to see things, that after some period of time, we will start to think we do see the wall or other people or different things around us. And that's what these kids experience, actually seeing things that they really can't see. Sometimes things that really aren't there. Finally, and I say the word finally, because quite a while after this has started to really creep people out, one match was lit. Just one. And it was like, oh, it's so bright. Oh. Had to blink their eyes and get readjust, and all of a sudden you realize one tiny match lit up the whole area of the cave where we were. And it would be like having a total electrical blackout in this whole area during a church service, and one little match to light a candle, to light another, to light another. That's what we are to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to shine the true light of the gospel of Jesus from our own hearts, from our own lives, out to others. Now, some people like to use there are two really good images for this. One is we are to reflect the love of Jesus Christ, reflect His light. That's fine. And we can reflect, but sometimes if we're only reflecting, maybe it's not penetrating. We need to try to let the light shine into our own hearts, into our own lives, so that there will be the light of Christ in our lives. And people, will, when they look at us, they will tend to see Him. Not just, you know, my flesh, my face, whatever. I hadn't seen someone for a few months, and they said, oh, that's a strange face. Another fellow said, yeah, that's for sure. But we hadn't been together for a while. And that's, of course, what was meant, but people like to tease, and that's fine. C.S. Lewis understood that Jesus truly was who He claimed to be. The ape patrol knew that they were not who they claimed to be. They were not apes. But if anyone hasn't ever before accepted Christ to shine in their life, I'm sure most of you have. But I can't be sure everyone has. I don't know. Now remember, being more than a mile underground in that lava tube in total darkness, just one small match, showed the whole scene, and it showed the way to go. Jesus understands the whole scene, and He is the true light, and He is the way to go. If anyone here hasn't before accepted Christ, you need to. It's simple. Just trusting Jesus and say, I invite you in today. Darkness can never cover the light. The true light of Christ drives darkness away. We have Jesus within us. That light is to shine out to others. First and foremost, I want you to know, Jesus Christ loves each individual here. Now you already know that. You've been around this church. You've heard the gospel preached. But I encourage each of us. There are a whole lot of people outside of here who maybe haven't heard that message. There are a whole lot of people all around you who are perishing, who are going to hell. And you have the light to offer them, to show them the way. Now, whether you choose to reach them, yes, we all need to pray for the people around us. And for people to, for God to set up, give us strategies for reaching individuals. But also create circumstances so a door will be opened. So they will say something and the Holy Spirit will quicken something to your mind so you can address their need, their concern, something about which they, it's something that's important to them right then. We need to seek those things out. And not just around your own neighbors, but out in the greater community. Wherever you go, wherever each of us go, we are to have God's agenda and not our own. And His agenda is to love people. His agenda is to save people. And He chooses to work through the Holy Spirit and through us. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts of sin. We don't. Someone might become under conviction when they hear a sermon or maybe have an experience. But it's the Holy Spirit that does it. We are told that in Scripture. So be encouraged. As believers, Christ is the light in your life. Let Him shine brightly in you, through you, to the people around you. The song, "Don't Let the Light Go Out." Now that's true for each of us here. That is true for this church body. Don't let the light go out. And it's not the light of us always gathering. It's the light of Christ that we take out into the community. Don't let that light go out. We must let the true light of Christ shine. We must go and take the true light of Christ into the world. Further, you folks are wise enough to know that we need the miracle of God's presence for us to remain bright and truly shine. In Jesus' teaching about being the true vine, He says in John 15, verse 5, "For apart from Me, you can do nothing. And apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And with Christ, we can do all He has called each one of us to do." This church, we heard prayers of thanksgiving for this building. And that's fine. But the church is not a man-made building. This building is not an idol. This is a God-built church comprised of what? His people. His people. I had the pleasure about a year and a half ago of going to Plymouth Plantation. I was actually on the day of Thanksgiving. I don't know if any of you have been there before, but if you haven't, gosh, it's an amazing experience. Because they have recreated, what, to the best of their ability, what they believe the early pilgrim village was like. And they have people in character, in dress, and they have little houses built. And it all, by all appearances, it's what houses looked like back then. And when they have people gather in the meeting house for the first explanation, and the fellow says, Well, I am the elder. We don't have a minister, so I can't serve communion here today because I'm not ordained. But I can share the Word of God with you. We can worship here today. But this isn't church. This is the meeting house. You are the church. And in this secular context, he's just saying it exactly that way. That was great theology, and it was great truth the way they understood it then. And it's because it's truth, it's still true today. We talked about the Feast of Dedication. Ari talked about it earlier. Feast of Dedication. And in John 10, Jesus went to Jerusalem in winter to celebrate Hanukkah. That's where it's recorded in Scripture. What began with one light became many. The people of this church have wisely chosen to shine the light of Christ into the community and into the world through your mission support. And that's a good thing. And prayer for these missionaries is truly essential. It is so good to hear a church actually really pray for the missionaries they support. So take delight in your own life in Christ. Then you will be fruitful sharing the gospel with those in need of the light. Do you care enough to keep the light shining? You are here. So it proves you care about one another and the work of Christ here. I encourage all of us to care enough to take the gospel outside these doors. Because, as I said earlier, all around us, people are perishing. So I encourage you to pray, not just for yourselves and this church. That's good. But to pray for your neighbors and the community. I encourage you to invite them to church. I encourage you to offer them a ride to church. I encourage you to visit them when they are hospitalized. I'm here today to encourage you. I'm speaking some tough love here, but I think you understand. I realize not all of these things are comfortable for each of us to do. I understand the challenges facing people and churches today. I appreciate the busyness and difficulties of life. So all the more, I encourage you. Driving around New England, it is sad to see so many grand old church buildings that are no longer churches. They may be a home or an antique store, a restaurant. I think even out in Seattle, I'm not sure, but I think one of the first restaurants of TGIF, thank God it's Fridays, was in a church building near the Seattle Center. A grand old red brick church building. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This is true. Okay, Jesus is the light of the world. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus said to the people, You are the light of the world. Now this is also true, because you are the ones who are to shine the light of Christ into the lives of the lost in this community. I'll say it again. You are the ones to shine the light of Christ into the lives of people in this community. The lost are all around you. Shine the light of Jesus into broken hearts. Shine the light of Jesus among those with broken bodies. Shine the light of Jesus among those with broken minds. Shine the light of Jesus into businesses, with neighbors. When you're on holiday, do it by the ocean. Shine the light of Jesus there. Shine the light of Jesus in nursing homes and rest homes. Shine the light of Jesus among tourists. Some people from out of town will ask you a question because you're from here. And you can talk about, there's a grand old church at X location. Oh, really? Yeah, it's so many hundreds of years old or whatever it might be. People from other parts of the country many times are interested in the history from right here. Shine the light of Jesus in your city hall, in your places of government. When you let Christ shine in you and through you, He will give you strategies and circumstances for you to shine the light of Him for all to see. I want to say that again. I will. When you let the light of Christ shine in you and through you, He will give you strategies and circumstances for you to shine the light of Christ for all to see. In Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul writes about some of the ways for the light of Christ to shine. In Philippians 3:12, Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained all this," he was speaking about righteousness, "or have already arrived at the goal of being completely righteous in his living, but I press on Why does Paul press on? Here is the motivation. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. And in the next verse, be brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead. What can we learn from this? Leave things behind, go forward. Learn from the past, but do not try to recreate it. Let God lead you into something new. I believe this is a word for this particular church at this point in your history. Learn from the past, but do not try to recreate it. Let God lead you into something new. Go forward and take the light of Christ into your community and out into the world. And we must be very careful. When we're trying to learn from the past, we must be careful that we draw the right conclusion. We may have an experience and think, boy, I'm never going to do that again. Or we may have the same experience and say, how can I do better next time? Those are two very different lessons, two very different conclusions. We must be careful what we conclude from the experiences that we have. When trying to learn from the past, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We must not be in a survival mode mentality of just enough. As I've said, there are neighbors all around who are perishing. People everywhere, and even here, can choose. You have the choice. You can choose to do nothing about it. Or you can choose to be full of life and the truth of the gospel of Christ, to be life-filled, shining the light of Christ in the community and around the world through missions. You, the people in this church, can choose to be used by God, not just to maintain, but to grow, serve, sanctify, and save, and as Paul said, to strain forward to what lies ahead, to press on to the goal to keep building the kingdom of God. You can do this. You can do this because you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is present to comfort, guide, teach, and direct you. Now, a long time ago, God told Noah to build an ark to survive in the midst of a chaotic and sinful world that would come to an end. This church building is not an ark. This gathering of people is not an ark. You can't just hunker down and wait for everything to go to heck and you're just trying to survive among yourselves. No. We are called to go, to serve, to gather people into the kingdom. Many years later, the Mosaic Law provided the Hebrews a life raft to stay afloat in a world that promised the seed of Abraham would come to redeem the world. Jesus Christ did come. He came to redeem us from the curse of death and to show us new life through the new covenant. We need neither an ark or a life raft. Jesus came to give us living water and to teach us to trust Him so we can have the faith to walk on water. Jesus came so we could have salvation by faith in Him. Paul writes that we are to continue to press on, straining forward. We need to obey and serve God, even in the small things. When we do what may seem like small things in obedience to the Lord, He can create great blessings, results far out of proportion to the effort given. An example of this is Zechariah 4:10. In alluding to this, noted preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "It is a very great folly to despise the days of small beginnings. For it is usually God's way to begin His great works with small things." End quote. This gathering place has been filled with music, praise, and prayer for decades. And the burdens of life are to be lifted from all who gather here. The impact you can choose to have in this community and the world can be very powerful. Despise not the day of small beginnings. To this I add, as the Lord leads you, despise not the days of rebuilding, of revitalization. Unity among the people here is essential at this time. When you, the body of Christ, live in unity, unbelievers in the community will know that God the Father sent His Son Jesus. We know this is true from the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. Because the incarnation is true, so are the teachings of Jesus, along with the crucifixion, resurrection, and return. So bless one another. Bless one another. Encourage one another. Speak the truth, and always speak it in love. Do not be judgmental toward yourselves. Don't be judgmental towards others, whether they are here today or not. Pray to God about things that have hurt you or that you find offensive. Sometimes the best thing to simply say is, Jesus, now this can be true of any perceived offense or anything we don't understand or something we're just tired and we need help. Jesus, I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. Pray to God. He always has a more complete understanding of our lives than we do. It is always wise to discern His perspective, even if it may seem elusive. By faith, as Paul said, still we press on. Remember, God never changes. His character is consistent. He is faithful and true to His word. Remember, He is the covenant-keeping God. We have hope because of who God is. So live in the present. Seek to discover what God is doing now. And what is He about and what He is about to do. Discern and fulfill your part in it. I'm here today to give these words of encouragement. To encourage you to shine the light of Christ in your lives and into the community. We should all reflect the light of Jesus Christ. How much better when it shines through us. The Holy Spirit will guide you, will help the light of Christ shine brightly within you, so God's love can also shine through you. I encourage you to daily read the Scriptures and pray to learn more about God, to spend time with God. If we say we truly love someone, but we never talk with them, we never listen to them, we never spend time with them, do we truly love them? We need to spend time with people we truly love. And how much more important is that, to spend time with Almighty God? This is part of what Paul meant by pressing on. And as we continue to do these things, we will see the greater peace in our own lives and fulfillment in our hearts as we do what God wants us to do. Think about the song I sang in the line, "Don't let the light go out." We must choose to let the light of Christ shine in our lives and into our community. I've traveled to many states, many nations. When I was 7 years old, my father drove from New York all the way to Washington State. Now, that was a road trip, I'll tell you. But I remember, even when I was 7, looking out and seeing the beautiful land, a beautiful nation. And I've had the pleasure in traveling in many different states and many nations. We must keep the light of Christ in our lives, in our communities across America. However, I will also say, I reluctantly reached the conclusion that without another great awakening, in the classic sense of a true great awakening, as has happened in this region before, that as a nation, we're done. Things may go on and things will change, but without a true great awakening, we're done. Like I said, I dearly love America. I've been in some 40 nations. But I've seen what happens in nations where God is not, where there is no respect for God, where there are no biblical values. I've seen, heard, tasted, smelt, and felt what it's like in such nations. You don't want that. We don't want that. Pray for an awakening here again. Every awakening that ever occurred has always begun with prayer and repentance from the church more than anything else. It was always preceded by prayer and repentance from within the church first. We must pray for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted right now around the world. Pray for an awakening here, or we may be similarly suffering persecution here in the not distant future. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm saying, by the grace of God, this awakening can occur. Let it stir with, let the desire to pray for it stir within you. And don't be concerned about the numbers you see here in this church at this time. God knows, and He will honor the faithful prayers of His people. Remember being underground in that lava tube earlier? Being in total darkness, one small match made all the difference. The way out of the darkness was clear. Jesus understands the whole scene. He is the light of the world. He is the way out of darkness for us as individuals and as a nation. So don't let the light go out. Shine the light of Christ. I also encourage you, because there's another type of darkness. And that's the darkness of sin. The total, absolute darkness of sin. And the total absence of God. Darkness for eternity. For a spiritual eternity without God. We don't want that for anyone here or anyone out there. You may have a grudge sometimes, but hey, get over it. God already did. We need to be faithful. We need to forgive. We need to repent and pray for an awakening here. So that light will continue to shine from right here out to the world. Let us pray. Dear God, here I am. I know I've sinned. I could never be worthy of forgiveness. I could never be worthy of heaven. Fortunately, you love me anyway. We trust Jesus, who died for us and rose from the grave. We know only Jesus can save us, and we trust Him as we go forward. Thank you for what Jesus did for us. Thank you for forgiving our sin because of Christ's work. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you. Thank you. We know we can go to heaven because of the light of Christ. Now, Lord, let us take that light of Christ. Let it shine deeply and brightly within our own lives so that people will know that the Father sent the Son. So people will know there is something different and they will want that difference. Lord God Almighty, let us be faithful to keep people out of the darkness and bring them into the light of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.